Hello everyone and welcome to the Cure Panel Talk Show. I'm Priya Menon, Scientific Media Editor at Cure Panel and joining you from India. I welcome all of you this evening to Cure Panel's on-air myeloma support group meeting. This is the 51st episode of the Cure Panel Talk Show. Going forward, we have some very interesting shows on myeloma and more lined up for you. April 14th, we are featuring Dr. Rafael Fonseca. And on April 23rd, we will have Dr. Philip McCarthy with us. On April 15th, we have a very interesting panel discussion on cannabis for cancer, co-hosted by Pat Killingsworth. Please visit curepanel.carefeed.net for more information on our upcoming shows, or you can always mail me priya@shalex.com. This is our live on-air support group meeting headed by myeloma survivor, author, advocate, Pat Killingsworth. Cure Panel's on-air myeloma support group meets every month on the Cure Panel Talk Show. The show is broadcast live on Blog Talk Radio. Today we have with us myeloma survivors and advocates Pat Killingsworth, Gary Peterson and Sandy Hirsch, and we are discussing long-term effects of myeloma treatment on our bodies. Welcome to the show, everyone. Before I hand over to Pat to begin with the meeting, I would like to remind our listeners that they can press 1 on their keypads to join the conversation and share their views and experiences with us. Pat will now begin with the meeting. Pat, you're live on air.
Thank you, Priya. And welcome, Gary and Sandy. Are you both with us?
Yeah, I'm here. So, Gary.
Hey, Gary.
Hey,
how about you, Sandy?
This is Sandy. Can you hear me?
I can. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling fine. Thanks for asking.
Good. Good. Well, I'm excited.
And
about,
how are you feeling?
Well, I'm hanging in there, Gary. I'm doing all right. I'm excited about this broadcast because for a long time I've wanted to. It just always seems like everything's a little rushed. And Gary and Sandy have very interesting stories, I think, myeloma stories. And I wanted to take the time tonight to let them spend 5 or 10 minutes and just talk about their myeloma journeys. And then do a little comparing and contrasting to the choices that we've made, the therapy paths that we've chosen, and then get on to no matter what path you've chosen, there's definitely a price to pay, and it has significant effects on our bodies. And it seems like that's rarely talked about. You know, oncologists' job are to keep us alive. You have cancer, we're going to try to beat the cancer down, cure you, or at least put you into temporary remission, and that's my job, and we're not too worried about what happens 2 and 3 and 5 and 10 years down the line, but I think at this point it's time that oncologists start to think about that. So before I turn things over a little bit, Priya, I'm hearing some feedback. Anybody else hearing feedback?
Yeah, sure I am.
Hold on a minute. Maybe I should turn this off of volume. Hold on a minute. Hold on. Can somebody speak and tell me if that's any better?
Danny. Oh, that's a lot better.
Hey. Yeah, okay. I had it on microphone.
Great.
Oh, okay.
Thanks. So if you would, I'd like to start with Sandy, and Sandy, take 5 or 10 minutes and just talk a little bit about your myeloma journey and how you got to where you are today, and then Gary, if you'd do the same, that'd be great.
Thanks, Pat, and it's very coincidental that you called because I think I wrote you last week and said, I do not like where I am. I have had 4.5 years of this myeloma. I've had stem cell transplant that went well. I've had every kind of refractory treatment there is. And right now, I don't like where I am. And I think it's because the myeloma and all the drugs that I've been on all these years are finally finding a loophole somewhere in me. to come up with new places that are like out of the ordinary and just kind of throwing everybody for a loop. Right now, I have a, call it a plasmacytoma or a tumor, it's in my mouth. And it's about the size of a small balloon that doesn't have air in it, but it's filled with, like, marbles. And it's in the very back of my gum, last tooth, wrapped around my tooth, going up to my sinuses. It's requiring a lot of radiation, and it has been determined for sure that it's myeloma and not one of another cancers that it could have been, which could have been worse. So that just kind of puts me in the mind of, gosh, I'm doing everything right. You know, I'm doing what they tell me. My loma has listened up to a point, and all of a sudden, you know, it's throwing a little clinker my way. I'm also on a clinical trial for Kyprolis because I was on Pomalyst and it quit working after 6 months. So I guess I'm grasping at straws a little bit. I want something to work longer. I know that there's a lot of new things out there for me, so I'm not totally like in the give-up mode. But every time you turn around, if something new comes about because of these myeloma cells, you have to start questioning what's next. So I think I've had a great 4 years. I'm certainly not giving up. I think I've managed to do everything I wanted to do as far as myeloma. I got a tattoo. I make speeches around the country, as you do, Pat. And but it's very frustrating when something hits you that is brand new. So I would certainly like any feedback on that one.
Well, Sandy, you were the inspiration for my wanting to make this the topic of the broadcast, and I don't think there's any question that your myeloma is probably on the more aggressive side, because you've done an awful lot in a relatively short period of time, and I really want to thank you for being on the here at the meeting tonight, because, you know, this is the type of thing that we really don't talk about. And I notice, you know, we all do it, I'm not giving up, everything's great, I'm hopeful. You go into one of our regular support group meetings and everyone needs to be positive and everything's great and we're all doing fine. And I'm not sure that's always, well, I know that's not always reality. And I think, sometimes it can put us in difficult positions. Sandy, did you happen to listen to Dr. Orlowski last week on Friday?
I didn't have a chance. I was in a bubble.
Don't have to alibi.
It was an alibi. Can I pick it
no,
up
no,
still?
No. Well, the thing is, he talked about how Kyprolis, sometimes I wonder where these numbers come from, because, they'll say, if you're refractory to Velcade and Revlimid, that 25% of patients respond to Kyprolis, and maybe 35% or so respond to Pomalyst. But then you hear 50%, Dex, and it's more like 50% of patients respond. But then you wonder, what really is the definition of refractory? When does that start? And where are these numbers coming from? But the bottom line is, just because there are three new drugs available, for example, when you get to the point that where you are, Sandy, and where I am, to be honest, there's no guarantee that each one of these drugs is going to work for any period of time. Like, now, was it Kyprolis you said that? No, Pomalyst you said that only worked for 6 months for you, right?
That's correct.
Right.
One of the things he also said, though, was he said that if you put Pomalyst and Pomalyst and Kyprolis together with dexamethasone, it was 80%.
Exactly. Thanks, Gary. That was my point. I just started wandering off, and I didn't get there.
Come on back.
That's right, and he called it synergistic interaction.
Right.
But the thing I like about the study, Sandy, that, let's see, you're using Kyprolis and Arai 520, is that correct?
No, I didn't get on that.
Oh, you
I'm
didn't.
Just using Kyprolis and twice a week and 4 milligrams of Dex twice a week. I didn't make the Arai 520, which is called Femalastin or something. Nope, didn't
sure.
get on that one.
So what can you what happened that you weren't couldn't become part of the
trial? Just wasn't chosen. It was a random. Everybody else in Dr. Usmani's group got it, but me.
Oh, gotcha, gotcha. So you it's randomized and you got the control arm.
I did.
I understand. Well, at least you got a drug that you haven't used before. Any
that's true. No,
indication
and be honest,
that it's
with
working?
You, had I gotten two new drugs, I wouldn't have known which one was doing the job.
Sure. Do you have you been using it long enough to have any feeling whether
it's been
working?
I get my Insight marker back on Thursday, but today I got some blood work that was my IgG had shot up from 1,900 to 3,900. I don't think that's so good.
Yeah, it's probably headed in the wrong direction.
I think. Yeah, we're going to talk tomorrow. I actually have a blood transfusion and another Kyprolis tomorrow. So, yeah, it seems like things have kind of gone a little bit backwards.
No kidding. And although, isn't it true that after 3 months, if you're not responding, they do give you the Arai 520 also?
Yes. Yes. Yeah, they will give me that. I'm only on my
great.
Second cycle starting today, so, yeah, I get to ride out another cycle or two before I get that. Mm-hmm.
Great, great. And if that doesn't work for you, then maybe, like Gary reminded me, you might suggest to your doctor that even though Pomalyst had stopped working, maybe the two of them together might have
either of you heard of this myeloma that... and I could be very wrong. No one has ever said it's from Zometa or not. But this myeloma, plasmacytoma inside the mouth, anybody heard of it?
I've seen it on, the Internet, when you look at symptoms.
Mm-hmm.
If you just saw multiple myeloma symptoms, pictures or something,
mm-hmm.
You just search that. I've seen growths on the tongue before. I've never heard of anybody having it other than you. But
the sinuses a lot, right? I know a number of patients that have developed plasmacytoma in their sinuses.
Yeah, this started wrapping around the molar, and then it has gone up the gum bone and. Literally, there's nothing in this tumor. There's no tooth, there's no infection, and there's no bone. But it is heading upwards to my sinuses, where eventually they're telling me they'll have to do surgery and make me an upper plate so that I would be able to swallow or eat or drink without it coming back down.
Sure. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Tell it to stop. Tell it to stop doing that.
I know. Believe me, I say it in better language than that.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Oh.
Well, I wanted to share it because not everybody talks about all the... There's so many unusual things with this crazy disease. And yet I've had a secondary cancer. I had colon cancer 2 years. Didn't have one thing to do with multiple myeloma. It ran in my family, and there were no myeloma cells in my colon. And that's the key. If you get cancer somewhere, if they find myeloma cells somewhere else, liver or wherever, then, that is a sign, of course, that the myeloma is responsible. And, that's something we have to be very careful of.
Sure, that may be true. And, Gary, I'll get to you here in a second. But I do want to add, and one thing we're going to talk about tonight is being immunosuppressed, or myelosuppressed, some people say, and having your immune system beat back by the drugs that we use, at least for me and Sandy, day in and day out, that can open up your body to secondary cancers. And there may not be myeloma cells there, but when I had my melanoma, the skin cancer, my dermatologist oncologist and the surgeon that eventually cut it out agreed that it was a direct result of the Revlimid that I was taking, well, combined with the Florida sun, you know, because my immune system was compromised.
Right.
So
okay.
Your colon cancer, you know, yeah, it could run in your family. There may be no connection, or it could have been allowed to maybe start earlier than it would have because,
right,
you know, your immune system just wasn't there to knock it back.
Yeah, that's a definite point there. Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, thanks, Gary. You've been doing great for a decade, correct? Could you describe, but eight years.
Yeah, not quite a decade, but 8 years. So I've been I've been blessed to, you know, be able to be where I am today, given where I started. And the reason I say that is that when I started, I had dialysis-dependent kidney failure because of the myeloma. I just was tired. I checked out my blood pressure. It was high. I went to the doctor. He said, well, let's just do a blood test. I hadn't done it in a while. You probably are just a little dehydrated. And then he called me up the next day or a couple of days and said, we'll get to the emergency room. Your kidneys have failed.
Uh-huh.
And then it was a matter of trying to figure out what caused it. And they said it could be one of three things. And, you know, it was the worst thing, which was myeloma. And, you know, from there, I ended up going to a Mayo Clinic and here in Jacksonville. And at Mayo Clinic, they put me on Cytoxan, dexamethasone, and thalidomide. And it pretty much knocked it back to zero from being very, very bad. But my kidneys had still failed. And so, you know, I was on dialysis for a while. And I remember reading an article by, it was Bart Barlogi, as a matter of fact, and it read something like this: of the 950 people with dialysis-dependent kidney failure, the average life expectancy is 3 months.
Wow.
So that was, you know, so the whole family came out at that time. I was in the emergency room, and they all came out to say goodbye. But with the Cytoxan, thalidomide, and I went on something. I had 5 days of continuous dialysis with a special filter that was supposed to take out the heavy chains. And I don't know if that worked or not, but in a very short period of time, my myeloma, you know, went from, well, I had like 85% involvement in my bone marrow when they did the, so I was pretty heavily overcome with myeloma at the time. And then it was the IG, I think it was, you have lambda and kappa, and my lambda was, it's supposed to be like 1.2 or something like that. And mine was 652 or something similar to that. So it was way, way up there. And after several doses of thalidomide, it came down to like 10 and from 600. And the doctor actually said, would you please check that? I think somebody put the decimal in the wrong place. Because they hadn't quite figured that it would be that, you know, it would respond that well to the thalidomide and all that stuff. So then they decided they were going to do a stem cell transplant. I had looked around and found that Little Rock, Arkansas, and Bart Barlogi had done a lot of them. I figured I'd go there and I'd try that program because I looked on the Internet, and that was one of the reasons I started my website, was that I couldn't find anything about life expectancies, you know, like who was A better than B, you know, and all I did find out was that Mayo had 33 months is the average at that point in time. And Little Rock had 7 years, so I figured, you know, I'd try their stem cell transplant there. I had the option to do that, and I did. So I went through a kind of a modified Total Therapy 3 program where they cut out, instead of a VDT PACE, they gave me VDT ACE, and instead of 240, I can't remember what it is, the amount of melphalan that they give you, they gave it to me in three or four different doses so that my kidneys didn't get slammed. But when it all you know, ended, my kidneys actually did come back, and I got off of dialysis. And so that was a good thing. And then since then, I've been I was at Mayo, I've been M spike of zero. And I've been and after all I had at Little Rock, I'm also at an M spike of zero. But I still have kidney insufficiency. I did go through a lot of chemotherapy. And, I feel like I'm maybe, 90% me, 85 or 90% me now, where, there was a time when I was on, that I really didn't feel too human.
Yeah. You've done great.
Yeah, it's been a blessing, actually, to just get, at one point in time, I had like pallets and pallets of this, because I could get on Medicare for my chemo and all that stuff as long as I went to peritoneal dialysis as opposed to going in every other day. And every couple days, I think it's three times a week, I had to go in and get on, plugged in the machine. I had those things hanging out of my chest. I had to get plugged into those machines. And then what happened is on peritoneal, they actually put a tube into your stomach and into some kind of a membrane around your peritoneal membrane. And what you do is you just dump all this liquid in, about a quart of it, every couple hours in the beginning. And you did that like three or four times. So that was really a huge pain. And then I was done with that. And when my kidneys did come back enough. So it's been quite a, quite a, a tough road. At least it seemed like it was, but not in comparison to others' people's, like yours, Pat, where you have all that bone involvement and all the pain associated with that. I didn't have that, but the kidney issues were just, it wasn't a lot of fun at all.
Well, Gary, my wife Patty works at a dialysis clinic, and I'm very familiar with all of that, and I don't know, it sounds like a toss up to me. I swore if I had one goal when I was diagnosed was to keep my kidneys safe, because I knew what it's like.
Yeah, it's I can remember early on, it was kind of interesting. My wife and my sister-in-law were with me in Little Rock, and they were helping me get through the whole thing. And I had a special diet that I had to be on, because of your kidneys, you can't have certain things. And it just seemed like all I could have was snickerdoodle cookies. And that was just about because everything else was kind of off limits. And they just darn near starved me to death. But, they did it on, try to make me better, but, they darn near starved me to death. But once I got off of that, and on peritoneal dialysis, I could eat again. So that was just pleasant.
Nice.
So part of what I guess I'm saying is
where are you standing right now, Pat?
Yeah, so part, I guess, one of the things I'm saying in this whole thing is that I don't know, you know, and it's something that was just said before, is that, you know, myeloma does some things to you, and like my kidneys failed, you know, and based on that, you know, there's a lot of things like it causes fatigue, you know, swelling, chest pain, shortness of breath, high blood pressure, vomiting, loss of appetite, sleep problems, changes in urine, decreased mental sharpness, vomiting, nausea. So
yeah,
you know, that's
anything
what,
else?
That's what, yeah, no, you know, yeah. There's a little bit more hiccups, but I thought that wasn't worth talking about. Muscle twitches and cramps. You know, but so those are the things that, you know, the issue with your kidneys can cause. So, you know, what, you know, sometimes I wonder, you know, what is the permanent damage that was caused early on? What was, you know, the chemotherapy? And what was, you know, just getting old, you know? Sure. But, all right, I'll let you go on from there.
No, that's good, and this presents an interesting contrast for us. We have three let's call ourselves experienced patients that have all experienced a number of different side effects caused either result of myeloma or the therapy that we undergo, and I wanted Gary to be part of the program, though. Gary, it sounded to me like you made a great decision to go to Arkansas, and there's quite a debate going on between whether, total therapy, whether it can cure some patients or not. But one thing it does seem to do is it really hits the myeloma hard up front, and for a number of patients, I'm sure it isn't pleasant and it's difficult, but they seem to get some pretty good results and some fairly... that lasts a long time. Gary, are you on any maintenance therapy right now?
Actually, I'm off of all therapy currently. But But I am taking, you know, like for example, uric acid. My uric acid was high, so you know, I take allopurinol for that, and I take Valtrex for shingles. You know, my blood pressure has never been all that good, so I take blood pressure medicine, you know, that kind of stuff. I can go through a whole list of stuff, you know.
Of course.
You know, of what I'm going through right now. But the good thing is that, you know, I don't have to take any more meds right now. You know, is it going to come back? I hope it doesn't, you know. I pray that it doesn't. But... you know, you know, that's one of the things, too, that we all are confronted with, whether, you know, just like you are when you're going, you know, is it going to come back? You know, even after 8 years, and they say, and he says, you know, it's not really going to come back. Do you
we
really,
all
you know,
pray.
Yeah, but, you know, isn't it going to come back? I don't, you know, I hope it doesn't. I pray that it doesn't, but, you know, it's always kind of there at the back of your head, you know. It's something that never goes away. Anybody who's had cancer, whether it's breast cancer or, you know, myeloma, and especially something like myeloma, which they say is incurable, and a lot of people say that, right, that it's always got to be in the back of your mind, at least it is in mine, that someday the other foot's going to drop, you know. Because I've talked to people that have been to Arkansas, and, you know, occasionally people do relapse, you know, after they've gone through, you know, 5-6 years of being at zero M spike. So it does happen. And
sure.
So you never know.
And even more conventional therapy where you'd use a doublet, for example, let's say you start out with you're diagnosed and you start out with Revlimid and Dex or Velcade and Dex, or maybe even RVD, and you use that for 6 months or something and have either transplant or not, and then get into a maintenance, what should be a more tolerable maintenance routine of low-dose Dex or maybe Velcade 4 weeks on, 4 weeks off, or 4 weeks on, 2 weeks off, something like that. You know, that I call it the honeymoon. You know, the majority of patients, and it sounds like Sandy's might have been compressed a little bit, but majority of patients that are able to either achieve a very good partial response or a complete response tend to get 2 years, 3 years, 4 years even, sometimes 5 years, a very long remission that I call the honeymoon period. And if you're in the middle of that, if it's been 2 years since your transplant and you're doing fine, or even if you haven't transplanted, like I was in complete response for almost 3 years, just on Rev-Dex, stayed on Revlimid maintenance, and you get in that that zone, and you're thinking, well, but that won't be me.
Mm-hmm.
I won't relapse. Or even if you realize you're probably going to relapse, well, it's not today. It won't be tomorrow. And I've even known a number of patients, and at that point are they, you know, I just call them patients, but survivors, a number of survivors who, they almost get cocky about it. And that it might almost be one of the things that can rub me the wrong way about sometimes the total therapy thing, where, you know, the support, you really need to buy into it in order to undergo all of that chemotherapy and tandem transplants and everything out front. So you better believe that you're making the right choice and you're doing the right thing. But, you know, sometimes those people just, I don't know, cocky is the wrong word, but, you know,
they live a little bit in denial.
And I feel so bad when a person like that, denial, sure, when a person like that, or if they relapse, it can be devastating. And I think that's
staggering.
It's just human nature.
Sure. You know, yeah, for example, Nick, you know, he's been like me. He's gone through the program, you know, and he'd be devastated if he relapsed, because we have like an expectation now, you know, that that we're going to beat this darn thing. You know, but
right. And it's not just the expectation, Gary. It's all that you put into it to
get there,
to where
true.
You are. I mean, that's a lot of therapy.
Yeah, but I think, you know, one thing I think, you know, which is missed in this whole thing is that the net of, you know, and you're right, because what it is, you know, you get a ton up front, but once you're done with that ton, then it's just maintenance. You know, it's not something that, when I was on maintenance, it was no big deal. You know, if I'm 90% now, I was 85% then. You know what I mean? It didn't really knock me back at all. So, you know, it was kind of, it was okay. So the big amount was at the very beginning, in the first 9 months. Right.
Right.
That's
but,
when they really nail
still,
you. And then,
but still.
Well, I guess my point is that all of us, no matter who we are, ends up getting nailed. It's just that total therapy people get nailed right up front, and everybody else gets nailed over a longer period of time.
Sure.
Well, I've always told
the
people in my group, you better believe in what you do and who you do it with.
Mm-hmm.
And it isn't just the point I wanted to make, though, Gary, and this isn't a criticism at all, but it is reality. You happen to tolerate basically RVD maintenance. You're on RVD maintenance, Greg.
No, actually not. Well, I was on I couldn't take R, but I was on
kidneys.
I was on VTD maintenance.
Sure.
Thalidomide.
So Velcade, thalidomide, and
dexamethasone. Velcade, thalidomide, dexamethasone. You know,
but see, the thing total therapy people forget sometimes, and I know people that can't tolerate Velcade or alone, or can't tolerate Revlimid, most of us, and this is the point that I've never been able to make online real well, I think, and most of us use RVD or VRD or something similar as our heavy-duty induction before a transplant. Or in my case, because I've relapsed again. And yet a total therapy person is using that, like Nick, is using that as his maintenance. So So Nick is taking maintenance. That's what some people consider, by myeloma standards, pretty heavy-duty chemotherapy. And I think you're used to it. So it's not a criticism. And after 3 years or so, he's going to be able to stop, hopefully,
yeah,
right?
Well, part of it, too, I think, is that you don't get I had 50 milligrams of thalidomide and just 8 of Dex. So it was a lower dose. Now, Velcade, was like 1.0, and normally it's 1.3. So, it wasn't as limited. But I only had one a week, I think, for 3 weeks, and then 1 week off or something like that.
Sure. Well, the important thing is you're doing well, and yeah, we're all stuck with, the aftermath a little bit. But I'm so glad that you're doing well. I just hear from a lot of people that, for whatever reason, are very sensitive to one or more of these drugs, and it's difficult. I know people that are, if they're on RVD, they're stuck in bed.
I
tolerate it
well.
Fairly well. You have, but you know.
I had a friend who couldn't take it. It just was, her blood counts just went, very low, and she had a terrible neuropathy with it, so she couldn't take it.
Sandy,
well,
how long?
I have to tell you guys, I'm going to tell you one story, Pat and Gary. Right before I went to see this specialist, and Gary, I know you know him, it's Dr. Usmani. He's from Arkansas, but he moved to Charlotte. And so 3 weeks before I was going to go on the carfilzomib trial, my oncologist, hematologist that I'd had for 7 years said to me, "Sandy, I'm going to have to let you go as a patient." I just started crying, like, "What'd I do? Why?" He said, "Because I think your case is getting too big for me." He said, "You need to be with someone who is the specialist in this, and it's not me." Well, I'm just wondering now, as I look back, at one moment I was mad at him. At the next moment I thought he was very humble and that he was a fabulous doctor for going and saying that to me. But did he know what was coming down the pike?
I think you make an excellent point, and that point is one that, is why I was looking online to find out, who's better at doing this kind of stuff. And I come to find out that the majority of hematology oncologists, only see one or two of these of us in their lifetime. And the only way that they get good experience, or their experience, they go to that, whatever that book is, on hematology, oncology, look up multiple myeloma, and it says, this is what you can do with it, type of thing. Because, they're going to get, they're going to get a ton of breast cancer patients. They're going to get a bunch of colon cancer patients. They're going to get they're not going to get many of us. And so what your doctor did finally was a good idea. He should have done it the third day that he had you. Say maybe you should go with somebody who is really skilled in this. And
I think so.
And that's my message, I think, to most people, that you need somebody like that on your team, because if you listen to Orlowski or Richardson or Van Rie or any of those guys on Cure Talk, those guys don't know what they know. You know what I mean? It just comes out of their mouth like this is just the way it is, And because they live it, they breathe it, and that's the kind of guy you got to have with this disease, because it is not easy. It's tough. It presents itself in 150 different ways.
Yeah, that was the point I wanted to make too. Yeah. Don't be afraid to leave your doctor because you're only looking out for your own life.
Absolutely. You make an excellent point, and that is you got to get somebody who understands this, who's seen a lot of it. And the only person who does that is somebody who's specialized in it, you know. Somebody like you, the doctor you have now, you know, and somebody like the doctor that or Dr. Roy here at Jacksonville that that Pat's going to be seeing, or my doctor, Dr. Barlogi. There's, you know, there's a ton of them out there. There's not a ton. There's 70 of them, maybe 100, you know, in this country.
Yeah, and if you can get one, you're darn lucky.
Absolutely.
Are you going to be seeing the new doctor? I am.
I just wanted to interject and bring our listeners up to speed. Gary's in Jacksonville, Florida. I'm over on the – that's on the East Coast. I'm on the Gulf Coast north of Tampa, and I currently go to Moffitt Cancer Center. And then there's a local – I'm about an hour away. It's on the University of South Florida campus on the north side of Tampa. And then I go to Florida Cancer Specialists. It's called – they have 30 offices, I think. It's a regional type of oncology practice. But Sandy is in North Carolina, and you're near Charlotte, correct?
I am in Charlotte, uh-huh.
Okay.
And we've got the newest, brightest star going right now because we've got a ton of money that has been put behind the Levine Cancer Institute, and they're doing transplants, and they're, I mean, just everything couldn't be newer. But everyone that's in the program has a history in the program. Could you explain that?
I don't understand.
Well, in other words, Dr. Usmani is the head of multiple myeloma, but his background is with Bart Barlogi. Dr. Copeland is the head of blood cancers, but he's out of Ohio State. We've got a Gerber and a another guy. They are specifically lymphoma and leukemia specialists. Everything over there is divided by specialists. We don't have but very few general oncologists left in Charlotte right now.
Right. Well, I'm glad you're getting good care. I wanted to add, though, really, that Gary makes a great point. It's important to see a specialist and maybe not right away and maybe not. I mean, if you've got if you're a low-risk patient and you weren't going to choose, say, total therapy as an option, then starting with a local oncology practice on Rev-Dex or Velcade-Dex or RVD is probably fine. Let's face it. But Sandy, you should never feel like I don't believe the choices you made probably are going to affect your life expectancy in any significant way. I mean, I'll never forget listening to Dr. Kumar, which is a colleague of Dr. Raj Kumar, speak in a small group at ASH, sort of off to the side, one of those smaller rooms. And he started and he said, you know, sometimes it's not that important what therapy you start, but if you're to the point where you need it, what's important is you start. And that's more of the male philosophy than the total therapy philosophy, where it's vitally important that you hit the spectrum right out of the gate. But for the majority of the country, you know, whether you start with Velcade, whether you start with Revlimid, it doesn't significantly affect your life expectancy. And what Gary's saying, and it's so true, is I think when you get to the point where all three of us are, where we're experienced patients, it's no longer science in a way. It's really more of an art. Mm. And with art, the more you practice, the better you get. Gary, would you sort of agree with that? Because we've outstripped, you know, even with cytogenetics and some of the new testing. And, of course, then again, I know there could be the argument in Arkansas, well, we can deal with that, we know that. But really, out in the rest of the myeloma world, by the time you've relapsed two or three times, the doctors are just guessing. You're just trying to find something that'll work for you.
Yeah. Well, you know, one of the things that I wanted to ask Sandy. Sandy, are you high risk or low risk? Do you know what your genetics are?
High risk. My psychogenetic to me is high risk, refractory. You name it.
Okay, so you've had that, you know, and that's one of the things that I think up front you need, okay, because if you're that 15% high risk, you mm-hmm. can't leave your treatment, you know, up to the local oncologist.
You're right about that, yeah.
You know, you need somebody out of the box who knows what they're doing. Yeah. And the second thing is, I've never been off of a maintenance of any sort.
I've never been off.
Mm-hmm.
Because it just grows so too quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and Sandy, I'm low risk, but I've never really been off maintenance either. You know, I delayed my transplant till about 4.5 years. And then afterwards, when it didn't work very well, I was right back on RVD for consolidation and then Velcade Dex for maintenance.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Do we have callers?
That's a good question. I'm glad you're running this show. I like that.
Way to go, Sandy.
Thank you. I'm Priya, Priya would normally cut in.
Yes.
Do we have anybody who'd like to jump in?
Callers can please press 1 on your phones if you want to join the conversation and share your story with us. There's quite a lot of them here today. Please press 1 and let us know. 1 on your keypads and we'll know that you want to share something with us. Pat, I think they're just enjoying listening to all three of you talk.
Well, I just didn't want us to get carried away. You know, the three of us have so much we could talk about to each other. I didn't want to leave anybody out.
No, Sandy, that's great and that's wonderful. I do find at these monthly meetings that we get a lot of listeners after the fact and mm-hmm. even quite a few listeners probably live, but it's hard. That's what's great about you stepping up and talking about your situation and Gary joining us. And, you know, second nature. I'm always talking about what's going on, you know, with me.
Have y'all asked the question lately, or do you even care? What is my prognosis? What can I expect?
I do.
I care. I don't understand the question.
Well,
the prognosis
the things that have happened to me in the last 3 weeks have really brought to mind, you know, where do we go from here? And is this going to change my life expectancy the way this myeloma is going now?
Well,
I didn't have such a great one to begin with, but it's better now.
Well, Yusmani, you know, I don't know, did he do any of the, you know, gene expression profiling? You know, for you.
Mm-mm. No.
You know, is he the one who's coordinating your
everything? Now he's in charge of everything. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, my thought, you know, would be that he should be able to provide you with a combination. That knocks it back, you know,
mm-hmm.
whatever you've got. You know, mm-hmm. if it's only just myeloma cells in that plasmatosis that you have on your tongue, you know, you're not done with
mm-hmm.
a bunch of different medications. You know, you just had another way that it presented itself, just like I've, you know,
uh-huh.
had it present itself differently.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I think that, in my opinion, anyway, that if he's any good at what he does, you know, there's a bunch of different drugs that are still available, you know, that you can try. And I'll give you an example. For example, you know, is that one of the guys that is on this panel sometimes, and also on the Cure panel, is Matt Goldman.
Uh-huh.
And Matt went to, I think, City of Hope or something like that, and they tried, you know, their little dance with him, you know, and tried this, tried that. And, you know, those guys are pretty good, you know. They you know, they are a skilled outfit, but they, you know, they kind of gave up. You know, they couldn't find anything that worked. So Matt, you know, looked around and he found Berenson. And then Berenson, you know, worked his magic with a couple things and came up with a combination that worked.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, for the last, well, how long has it been? A couple years now we've known Matt? Pat?
Yeah, Matt is using bendamustine, which is used for some other blood cancers. And
and
for some reason, bendamustine in combination with several other drugs is working great for him.
Yeah,
Gary makes a great point.
So my thought is if this combination doesn't work, you know, for one thing, you've tried pomalidomide, right? And
mm-hmm.
and now you got Kyprolis, Kyprolis, I guess is what it's called.
Yeah.
But you know, the combination of the two works like three times as good as either one of them together. So
okay.
That would, you know, seems to me like that would be it. And if it's myeloma, and if it's in a plasmatosis, you know, or a plasmacytoma, then you know it should take care of it there as well. You know, and
right.
the radiation should. You know, should do a trick on it as well. So,
yeah,
I think,
how's the radiation working?
Yeah.
The radiation's only been five times, and I can't tell any difference in the plasmacytoma in my mouth. But it worked really good when I needed it about a month ago for my rib cage. It worked really good. So, you know, I'm willing definitely to give the radiation a try. But I like the idea of going back and putting the pomalidomide and the Kyprolis together.
You know,
yeah,
and that
I mean,
other thing that you talked about, which is really an immune system, right? Isn't it the SAR, whatever, that one clinical trial that you're in? If you can take that one within a couple months, you know, that's
uh-huh.
supposed to be, you know, I know that, you know, for example, the other one that I saw was daratumumab. Have you've heard of that, right?
Well, the problem with some of these is I have to remember I had colon cancer 2 years ago, and you have to be clear of a cancer like that for 5 years. So daratumumab I could not do.
Oh, okay. But
but I'm pretty sure I could do this. I could do the ARI 520, and I can do the. I'm sure I can do the pomalidomide Kyprolis. So I'm going to suggest that.
Mm-hmm. You know, and those, and that's kind of the new heavy hitters is those two together with, and if mm-hmm. you throw in, I think that ARI 520 is also a what do you call it? A monoclonal antibody. You know, which
yes,
means
uh-huh.
that it kicks in your immune system. So, that's three different pathways that you're hitting all at the same time. So, hopefully, you know that'll have another period of time for you. Is my thought.
I certainly appreciate this panel tonight. It couldn't have been more appropriate for me and my pity party that you don't get any presents from. But we have them anyway occasionally. So just hearing you and Pat and how lucky I am to know you guys, I really appreciate it.
Hey,
Sandy.
You're more
Sandy.
Than welcome. And thank you for all that you do for everybody.
Yeah.
Like being
just
part
a couple
of this program.
Things. Well, I think about my mortality all the time and how the way I'm reacting to certain drugs affects my life expectancy. So, you know, we can talk about that a little bit, but I, off air probably, but I think about it a lot. You know, in 3 or 4 days, I'm at my 7 years, and it's getting tougher, and I have a lot of options, but there's no guarantee. You know, you don't know how many of the drugs you're going to respond to, and I actually, although I have a low risk, My cytogenetic profile of my myeloma cells has changed, and they're starting to become. I'm now moderate risk.
Is that right? Uh-huh.
Yeah, because the actual makeup of the myeloma cells, the genetic makeup, has changed. Because, after 7 years
of
continual therapy.
Hey,
I had a question. You haven't used, you haven't used VDT Pace, for example, yet, have you?
No, I have not. Will you tell me what that is, Vincristine, and what is it?
There can be two or three different acronyms in front of the PACE, correct, Gary?
Yeah, well, it's VRD or VTD. You know, it's
Zolkin,
thalidomide, dexamethasone, and then PACE. PACE is, cisplatin.
You'll never get PACE.
Yeah, cisplatin, carfils, oh no, cisplatin, I know Cytoxan, three other ones, and I can't remember.
I have not used that.
Well, the point is, they throw the kitchen sink at you, and my good friend Dr. Arnie Goodman, who's had three transplants and just had an allo, and that's the only thing keeping him going, and he was getting a number of the myeloma, the tumors, the plasmacytomas outside the bone, I can't pronounce it.
I know.
Outside the bone, and I'm telling you, and it's working. He's using it as maintenance, for God's sakes. I mean, he goes in and gets, a variation on that acronym every 6 weeks. But it's working, and I just wanted to say, Sandy, that if I were you, and I'm always reluctant, if I were you, I think I might be trying to get in to see one of the elite guys like Dr. Richardson or Lowski there's a handful. Gary has eight of them that he lists on his website. You might consider doing something like that because there are options, but you can't mess around at this point, I think.
I think you're right. I think
and
I'll look into that.
Well, high risk, 4.5 years is already good. It's great. I mean, you've already, I think all of us have outlived our original life expectancy, right, Gary?
Yep, we sure have.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to look forward to more of these. Thank you for letting me be part of it.
Absolutely.
VDT Pace is, one of the, that's the combination that they use in Little Rock.
Mm-hmm. And
oh, that's right.
A,
they use that
an
as
IV?
An induction, don't they?
Is it an IV?
They use
IV?
It as induction. They use it for transplant, and then they use it for consolidation.
Wow.
Really?
Okay. Yeah, that's a lose your hair one.
At
this point, I don't care. I used to care a lot. I don't care. But I think I would
definitely
mention it.
I just want to be able to eat.
Yes, me too, Pat. And I want to be able to talk without marbles in my mouth. And I want to not be in pain. And other than those things, I'm okay. But I am going to mention the VD Pace. That sounds too big to pass up. I mean, it's just too obvious.
Yeah, VTD Pace or VRD Pace.
VTD. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Sandy, I'll email you with a list of some of these possibilities.
Mm-hmm.
But I got to tell you that if you go in with this long list of stuff, I hope your doctor better be pretty laid back and receptive because they're just going to look at you like
Pat.
Like
my
crazy,
doctors look at me like your doctors look at you. We try to know so much.
But that's why I'm saying sometimes to go see another specialist with a fresh view, you'll find, I bet if you picked up and went to Dr. Anderson or Richardson at
Dana-Farber,
or if you went down to see Orlowski in Dallas or something, or Houston, I think. I think that they would probably be making the suggestions we are, And instead of it being your idea and maybe getting some assistance or that your doctor doesn't have any experience with them, they, you know, they're used to the seeing patients that are starting to run out of options. So I, it's just a thought. I know who wants to do the traveling. And, but if I were you, I'd think about it, and I can help. I can get you a list of doctors' options, and I'm sure Gary can too. And listeners,
I'll take anything I can get. Thanks.
Please email us, and we'll try to hook you up with somebody if you feel like you need that.
Okay.
You know, I just got actually on my website. You know, some people had, this lady had called and or not called, had emailed me and said her sister, you know, needed had all these plasmacytomas and that, you know, she was running out of options, and she had a doctor that was not a myeloma specialist, and I hooked her up with Dr. Orlowski, and hopefully they'll get together on that.
And he recommended
VDT Pace, and that's what she's taking right now at her local oncologist. You don't have to go and get it done someplace else. You know, they can do it.
That's right.
Any place.
Right.
Basically, as long as they've done a number of them, you know, you don't want to go someplace that hasn't done it before. Because one of the things I think, you know, and we haven't really talked about it, is that supportive care is so important. You know, for example, you know, when you get a stem cell transplant, no matter who you are, you know, you're running around without an immune system, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you have to have, you know, an antibiotic, antifungal, and, you know, that kind of thing.
Oh, yeah.
But also, you know, you need to know what, you know, if it gets, like, for me, it was like, if you have 101, you better get to the emergency room, you know, type of thing.
Oh, definitely.
Because my thought is that, you know, because we don't have an immune system, our body is not responding to the infections like they normally would, meaning that you don't get the temperature right away. You know, you can be overrun with it before your body finally resolves to show you that something's happening. You know what I mean? So when you're at 101, when you're at 101, maybe it's like a normal person was at 104 because their immune system has responded. You know, so you know you need to take care of yourself, and you need somebody to tell you what to do. You know, and it saved me from, I've had pneumonia twice, one of which I went septic and I almost didn't make it. So you know, you just gotta, you know, that's another thing. It's just the whole supportive care, making sure you get the right education about how to take care of yourself during this whole thing.
I'm going to definitely bring it up and speak to my doctor, and if he's, I feel like he is aware of it, but I think, and I know he's probably done it if he's been at Arkansas or he's there 13 years.
He did a lot of it.
Oh, yeah, he should know the whole alphabet.
Yeah. And I think he just needs to know that, you know, I guess I'm just the patient that's going to have to be hit with all of it in order to stand up. Thank you very much.
What do you have to say?
I will. And keep me in your emails. I appreciate it. My best to both of you, okay?
Thanks, Sandy.
Thank you, Sandy.
Good luck. Thanks, both of you.
Sandy.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Pat and Gary, thank you so very much. I hate to interrupt you, but we are almost done with our time for today. We look forward to everyone joining us for our next panel. That's on 14th of April at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, where we will have Dr. Fonseca on a monthly broadcast, and the show would be co-hosted by Gary Peterson. For more details, please visit curepanel.carefree.net or mail me, priya@trilex.com. The link for today's show will be sent via email to all the participants. Thank you so very much. Thank you, Pat. Thank you, Gary.
Yep. Thank you, Priya. Thank you, Pat.
Sure, Gary. That was hard for Sandy to, you know, we try to help, but then it becomes all about Sandy, and it's a scary thing, I think.
Very much.
Yeah.
Very much so. Yep.
Thank you, everybody.
Yep.
Take care, Pat. Bye-bye, Sandy.
Bye-bye.